If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Brody Henderson, Randall Williams, Maggie Hudlow, Corinne Schneider, Levi Morgan, and Nick Pinizzato. Levi and Nick, this is your first time on the show. How do you think you'll do at Meat Eater Trivia?
I'm nervous.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
That you don't think you'll perform well or what?
That I won't get a single one right.
Okay. Yeah. I think you'll do better than that.
What's peculiar about this is we just had a long conversation about mental discipline and all that, and I see that he is not applying his own lessons to the trivia.
One thing I left out was that focus or that confidence was really important to have mental discipline.
Okay, so. Well, you work on that in the next few minutes before we get to the show. Nick, how do you think you're gonna do?
I came intending to win. Mm-hmm. I've been studying. I've talked to people who've submitted questions in the past.
Really?
I feel like maybe I've overprepared, actually.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, now I've heard from a few people, Steve, that you are probing some folks in your circle for questions for an upcoming episode where you're going to host.
I've sent some inquiries out.
How's that going for you?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
That's gotten all the way back to Nick, who said he was just with Jim Heffelfinger, and Jim was telling Nick that you were asking Jim for questions.
I hit Jim up, and he told me the one that you haven't used, which is what's Aldo Leopold's actual first name.
No idea.
But that's that had the problem. Like, the only one he threw to me was one that he prefaced by saying, you won't use it. And it's one of those ones, again, like we always bring up, the point isn't that no one knows.
Sure.
The point is not that no one would know. Mm-hmm. The point is that someone would know.
That's right.
And someone wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been helpful at all. But I'll tell you what I've been very impressed by.
Okay.
Very, very impressed by. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. The listener submission queue.
Mm. Tell me about it.
Well, the volume, for one.
Volume is incredible.
Great, great volume. And then some people are so thorough about it, they even include the tidbit, the talking
point. Sure, yeah.
You know, you were saying that you gave me like a one in blank is usable. I found like a higher ratio of usable ones. I actually had three. I can't decide. When I host, I might do two listener questions because I was so impressed by the queue.
We should do a whole episode of listener questions.
We will. Coming next week, Steve is going to host the show. So tune in for that.
And really quick, Steve, can you get cozy with Brody over there? You're kind of out of the frame.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. But this show will be a little different. We are in the middle of Whitetail Week, which runs from October 2nd to October 8th. So in honor of that, this entire episode is trivia based on America's most pursued big game animal.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
You're just like it's a great idea.
You're like handing it to Nick.
Yeah.
Well, what about Levi?
Well, he just said that he likes to hunt them, but he doesn't know all the, like, you know, what protein in a whitetail, like, shapes its, you know, hoof.
Nick, you're in the pole position.
Well, actually, now I have pressure, which I didn't have before.
Yeah, so now I don't think I will win. Is on you.
Everything is going to be whitetail based.
All right.
Don't sweat it, man.
Really?
Nah.
All right.
Now, I would bet, like a Mark Kenyon, Tony Peterson, they would get a 9 or a 10 on this. Brody, Steve, maybe like a 5. I think this is going to be a tougher round for you.
When's the
last time you killed a whitetail, Brody? Last year?
Last November.
Okay, how about you, Steve?
Last year.
What's that got to do with answering questions, though?
About whitetails?
You remember Pat Durkin's observation? When he was at Deer and Deer Hunting, he would interview a lot of big buck killers.
Uh-huh.
And he said he was always surprised by how many of them couldn't have told you what tree they were sitting in
when
they killed a trophy buck.
You're going to have to know a lot about whitetails to perform well here.
Don't worry, I'll get a 0, everybody.
Now, during this stretch that is Whitetail Week, Meat Eater will be bringing you its best whitetail content, which you can find on themeateater.com, and its best whitetail deals, which you can get at firstlight.com. This whole week is dedicated to articles, videos, podcasts, and gear that'll help you kill your next big buck. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the number 40. That's the percent you'll get off some of our favorite items from First Light, like the Catalyst Whitetail Jacket and Bibs and the Sawtooth Jacket and Vest. Levi, I know the Catalyst system is a staple in your midseason whitetail kit. What do you like so much about it?
Yeah, I think it's...
What are we snickering I'm about not sure. over here?
Oh, Steve's just making a very emphatic...
Steve's making it...
He's
working
Markles,
on a turkey call,
Markers.
I think.
And you can't pick that up at all, can you, Phil, in the mics?
Oh, yeah.
Not, you mean the squeaking?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
I'll quit.
Okay. Levi the Catalyst system.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just become the workhorse for us from October through November, you know. I think it's really versatile weather-related, which is why I like it so much. I can wear it standalone if it's kind of warm out, or I can layer all the way down to 30 in mid 30s for me.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to put it. It's maybe the most versatile piece in the whitetail system.
Yeah.
Now you get 40% off the Catalyst system right now. The Whitetail Week deals end this weekend. Here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous shows. This question was from episode 460. The topic was whitetails, and nobody got it right. What was the nickname of the AK-57 radar laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun into 30 point buck?
This question was what I was thinking about coming into this episode of trivia, and I was like, I'm going to bomb
this. So what's the answer, Maggie?
I can't remember.
Anybody even have a guess?
I wasn't here for this game.
Neither was I.
What was the nickname of the AK-57 radar laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun in the 30
I mostly just remember Mark's disappointment in himself.
Yeah. Are we supposed to write
Nobody's
going to.
No, if you know it, just shout it out. Do you know the answer,
no,
Levi? Okay, the correct
guess.
Answer was Betty Lou.
I almost said Betsy.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh,
I was thinking
God.
Something like that.
Betsy.
He wouldn't have given it to you.
The incorrect answers from that show were Susie, Betsy, Old Bessie, Bess, and the Youper Smoke Pole. Now we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about black market bear organs. When the answers were revealed, Steve mocked our guest, who was a doctor, for writing gallbladder as one word instead of two.
Yeah, but I was wrong.
Play the clip, Phil. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Angela saying gallbladder, gallbladder, gallbladder.
Angela has this one word.
The entire room said gallbladder. They all got it right. The correct answer is gallbladder.
Two words.
Gallbladders and paws are considered
I don't think
the top
mocked
reason that bears
is
poached across the world.
Mocked?
Okay, well, how would you describe it?
Oh,
okay.
Observed.
Sure, okay. Well, despite Steve's confidence, gallbladder can be one word and is actually the preferred way to write it. according to places like Merriam-Webster, the Mayo Clinic, John Hopkins Medicine, WebMD, Harvard Health, and more. Is it? Did I get that one wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, John Hopkins actually is.
Good
yeah.
correction.
I don't know anyone named Johnny Hopkins.
See, I just came out on top. he was trying to knock me down. I came out on top.
Now, Steve, here's your chance to apologize to Dr. Angela Perry, who I'm certain is not listening right now.
Well, that's just not how I write it.
Was that, was that your apology?
No, I was wrong. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong. At least I didn't, you know, say John Hopkins.
Yeah. Apology not accepted on behalf of Angela. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 3, so our winner should get 6 correct answers, and with that, we're on to the game of trivia.
Hold on, tell me again. The Shelby Index is what?
3, but she hasn't killed a whitetail, I think, since 2015. So.
But that's a low Shelby Index.
It's a low Shelby Index, but she's not necessarily an authority on whitetails like a few of our players in the room today, gotcha. So I like their chances. Play the drop, Phil.
Ooh. That was, you caught me off guard there, Spencer. Here we go.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one. As always, this will be multiple choice, and the topic is hunting. What percent of whitetail bucks killed by hunters in America are 1.5 years old? Is it 5%, 16%, 27%, or 38%? And this was as of 2021. Here's the question again. What percent of whitetail bucks killed by hunters in America are 1.5 years old? 5%, 16%, 27%, 38%. This stat was from 2021. Steve, with a confident answer. You think you have it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Brody?
Sure.
5%, 16%, 27%, 38%. That's right. The question is on the TV behind Phil. Randall, ready?
I think so.
Maggie, ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying 38. Nick saying 38. Corinne saying 38. Maggie saying 16. Randall saying 38.
Brody
saying 38.
No, he said D.
Steve saying 38.
This wasn't even an option.
I can't turn around and look. I just went with the biggest number.
The correct answer was 27%.
Oh, dang it.
Damn,
did anybody get it right?
That's what I had, and I
changed my answer.
Nobody
really
got it right.
What would that number have been in 1990?
It's a great question. This is via the National Deer Association's 2023 Deer Report. They found that just over a quarter of all whitetail bucks killed by hunters in 2021 were 1.5 years old. That may seem like a lot, but that number has actually been decreasing. In 2009, it was 41%. In 1999, it was 51%. And in 1989, it was 62%.
And in 1986, in Muskegon County, Michigan, it was 100%.
That's right. 27% of whitetails killed in America.
That is really surprising, man. Well, Holmit, is that, but that's not, is that counting dudes, is that counting shooting fawns?
Specifically, well,
no,
wouldn't
that
be,
wouldn't count button bucks.
No.
Okay.
No.
Question two, the topic is archery. Nobody got that one right. The Indoor Archery World Series Finals have been held in this city since 2011. The Indoor Archery World Series Finals have been held in this city since 2011.
Really quick, Spencer. What's up? The audience is going to get a peek behind the curtain. Your mic's crackling a little bit. You want to just kind of futz with the cables there and make sure they're all good to go. I know it's kind of a loose piece of hardware there. Yep. Oh, that sounds pretty
Anything?
Good.
Anything? Is that better?
Nope, that's good.
Okay.
Yep. Try not to touch it. Thank you.
Topic is archery. The Indoor Archery World Series Finals have been held in this city since 2011.
Indoor Archery World Series Finals. The World Series Finals.
Is he messing up?
I can't think of like any cities names right now.
I know
right
two
now.
Cities that there's an Indoor Archery World Series in, so I'm not sure. Since 2011, it's been in this city since, but way before that. So since 2011 was the start.
Is everybody
Sounds like answer? He caught Spencer in the wrong question.
We'll if he's having we'll trouble see. With it, I don't have a prayer.
Archery World Series Finals have been held in this city. Well, if it's not this one, it starts with the same letter.
Okay.
Well, there's two cities it could be.
Is everybody ready?
Oh, hold on. I got to think about this now.
What would be that? What would that mean?
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Oh, are you?
I think so.
Is everybody ready?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Indoor archery world series. If it's not that letter,
my alternate guess,
another one with the same letter.
My alternate guess started with the same letter.
Yeah.
So I, that's
okay.
What letter might that be?
The only thing that's throwing me off is the 2011, because I've been shooting in the same city since 2007.
What city is that?
So if it just moved there, then I might have got it wrong.
Okay.
So let's see.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying Vegas, Nick saying Vegas, Corinne saying Vegas, Maggie saying Pittsburgh, Randall saying Vegas, Brody saying St. Louis, Steve saying Salt Lake City. The correct answer is Las Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
The competition has events for men and women shooting recurves and compounds. Our guest, Levi Morgan, took third place out of 267 competitors at the World Series in 2019. Levi, what do you remember about that day?
I didn't win.
That's what you remember?
That's what I remember.
Not that you beat 264 other
I
dudes.
I remember having a bet with my friends that if I won, they got to pick a tattoo that I would get.
Oh.
No, they got to pick. Yeah, I got to pick where that it went. They got to pick what it was, so I threw it on purpose.
Oh, there you go. So hold on, you had to get a tattoo then?
Yeah, would have won.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
What was it going to be, you think?
I have no idea. You have to know my friends. Okay. I couldn't talk about it on here anyway.
Now, I think the 2011 part was this archery organization was like formed. Like before that, it was two other organizations that were condensed into one, and then it became the World Series Finals. Mm-hmm. So it was very kind of convoluted about when it switched from this event to this event.
Got it, yeah. Can you help me understand how that's a whitetail deer question?
Because our guest is Levi Morgan. Question three, the topic is gear.
I like it.
This company that's famous for their number 69 doe in rut urine has been in business since 1972. The men in the room are confident. Maggie and Corinne, not so much. Here's the question again. The topic is gear. This company that's famous for their number 69 doe and rut urine has been in business since 1972. Steve, do you have any of this stuff at home right now?
Even though my dad's been dead for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
I could go into what was his office and open his drawer and I will find you a few of these.
Really?
Yeah.
You should bust them out and use them now and then.
Sure, they're in great condition.
I don't know if they could be in bad condition.
He'd have his aged wool, like his wool boonie hat, uh-huh. A couple chunks of paracord, some finger tabs, and some of this stuff would be laying in that drawer.
A lot of places, this stuff's probably not legal anymore, right?
Mm.
Where you're not allowed to use doe urine.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying Tinks, Nick saying Tinks, Corinne saying Bucks Gone Wild. That's good. Maggie saying Scentsy, which is what, like an Avon product or something like that. Randall and Brody and Steve saying Tinks. They got it.
Okay.
Correct answer is Tinks. The brand was started by Tink Nathan, who wanted to create lures that could bring bucks closer. Their number 69 Doe and Rut lure is a combination of Tink's secret ingredients and urine that's collected from whitetails on their estrus cycle. They claim their product is the top-selling buck lure in the world.
Did it have some vanilla in it?
That was Vanilla Killa from Dan Fish Joe. Hope that's not the next question.
Question four. Topic is conservation. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Michael Arden for sending this great question. Michael is going to get a book signed by Steve. If you want a chance to win, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. This bean-shaped tissue is what biologists typically remove from deer to test for CWD.
What? Leave me alone.
This bean-shaped tissue is what biologists typically remove from deer to test for CWD.
No
the room
idea.
Is yet again confident.
No.
Maybe. Okay. Everyone is quick to answer.
No, my brain's not working.
Because me and Brody are in a tough spot here because of like that the questions aren't even whitetail questions. Brody's has a new different kind of attitude. He wanted to share answers.
Uh-huh. No. I wanted to see what you were writing. I already wrote mine.
Uh-huh. Brody also came in looking to make a statement. He's wearing a Mule Deer Foundation hat. Knowing that this is Whitetail Week.
But, yeah, it's just like little digs, you know?
Get on that mic, Brody, if you could. Thanks.
I'm pretty sure it's the same whether it's a mule deer or whitetail in this example. I would hope so.
The question again is, this bean-shaped tissue is what biologists typically remove from deer to test for CWD. Does everybody have an answer?
I'll change mine 3 times, so we'll see.
Okay. Maggie, are we ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Oh, we have Levi saying lymph node. Nick saying
that's
lymph node. Corinne saying lymph node. Steve, do you have any comments for how Corinne wrote lymph node?
The lymph node.
I'll take it. The lymph
Maggie
node.
Without an answer. Randall saying adenoid. Brody saying lymph node. Steve saying thymus gland. The correct answer is lymph nodes.
There's just no chance for me, man.
You folks got it right. The brain stem and lymph nodes are spots where infectious proteins concentrate in CWD-positive deer. For that reason, biologists have long struggled to find a way to test animals while they're alive. There are some live tests in development, like ones that take rectal biopsies or ear punches, but nothing has been perfected yet.
Can you be certain that you can't tell from a thymus gland?
Are they bean-shaped?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think that's what biologists use, though, typically. It's that's also part of the question, is that it's like the most common way to test. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nick, how are we doing on live tests for whitetails?
Still not 100% there. It's probably going to be a while before we get there, so unfortunately the best way to test is after the deer is dead.
Do you think there's someday in our lifetime where that will be the case? That
yes.
You can test? Really?
Yes.
Okay. Are most people that optimistic?
I think so. I think the arguments are mostly over how long it'll take to get there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, absolutely.
What do you think that test will look like when it is around?
I think it'll just be further development of some tests that we already have that are close right now, probably pretty close to approval. So yeah.
That's a bit of sunshine I didn't think we'd get. I didn't think you would be that optimistic that it's going to happen.
It doesn't help us a lot with wild deer, though.
That's a good point.
You know, which is what we're most concerned about.
Right.
But it'll help deer farmers, yeah.
Question 5, the topic is woodsmanship. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out @SpencerNewharth or watch this episode on Meat Eater's YouTube channel. I am showing the room a trail cam picture that I got in 2014. Here's their prompt. This plant of many nicknames is a legume that's famous for its hitchhiking seeds. This plant of many nicknames is a legume that's famous for its hitchhiking seeds.
Where'd you take that picture, Spencer?
Not going to tell you. We could talk about it afterwards if you're interested. Does that look like a familiar plant to some of you?
That's a nice buck. Did you get him?
I did not get that one. No. He had 2 buddies with him that I ended up killing a few years later, though. This buck I kind of lost track of, though, after he shed his velvet.
I got no idea. But I know what that stuff is, and it
okay.
sucks.
It does. That's right. Steve, does that look familiar to you, that plant?
It does, but I'm not real confident. But it's like I can't win anyway, so it doesn't matter.
This plant of many nicknames
could I win?
Legume that's famous for its hitchhiking seeds. Brody, how we doing? You are thinking hard.
I have an answer, but I know it's wrong.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what the room comes up with. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying beggar's lice. Nick saying jewelweed. Corinne saying polebean. Maggie saying houndstooth. Randall saying hitchhiker. Brody saying hound's tongue. Steve saying hound's tongue.
Oh.
Acceptable answers would be beggar's lice, creature's lice, trefoil, tick trefoil, stick seed, stick tight, and hitchhikers. I don't know about hound's tongue. I will look that up. I've not heard that one. I never saw that one online mentioned.
I don't think that's hound's tongue.
Is that foxtail?
This is like
hound's tongue.
Stuff,
I picked one
right?
off my clothes yesterday. It's like
they're like the little balls.
Not a cockleburr.
Is it a legume?
I have no idea.
Like
it's shaped
flat.
Like this.
I'm guessing it's not the same.
No,
this thing's like prickery, right? Like
Yeah,
it's not the same thing.
Beggar's lice is a wiry plant that's native to North America. Its seeds act like Velcro and stick to fur, feathers, and clothes, which is its dispersal method. Despite our hate for it, deer actually love to eat it. To learn more about the plant, read my article on themeateater.com called Beggar's Lice, a Deer Hunter's Friend and Foe.
Now, Hitchhiker was one of the answers.
Hitchhiker is one of
the
correct answers.
I wrote this down in an attempt to be cheeky because you said hitchhiking in the question.
I found it mentioned in an article.
I'm thrilled. I'm surprised that this was an answer.
I think beggar's lice is probably the most common one. Beggar's lice is what he came up with. Does that sound familiar now that you've heard it, though? You've never heard of beggar's lice?
Maybe I have, but it's not like...
It's called beggars.
Add that one to your lingo. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, we've got Maggie with 0 points, Steven Ranella with one, Corinne and Brody.
That's a new one.
Thanks, Steve.
One there.
Corinne and Brody have 2 points apiece.
That's amazing. Corinne. I'm tied with Brody.
Randall and Nick have 3, and in first place is Levi Morgan with 4 points.
Yeah.
I still can't believe I got the 27% wrong. Not happy about it.
You'd be doing real good.
Doing well otherwise.
That was the one I had right, and I erased it. Yeah. So, you know, could be tied with Steve.
Well, oh, God. It's already better than I thought.
1 point. Yeah, I've said it before, and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family, and you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, you know when you take some time to clean out, clean out your garage, and you're like, man, how was I living like that with that place such a mess? Well, check this out. If you've been paying a fortune for wireless, and then you switch over to Mint Mobile and get plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you'll be saying, how was I ever affording to do that way I did it before? It's time to switch, okay, to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and get your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. And you will cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Again, mintmobile.com/meateater.
It's a $45 upfront payment required, which is the equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Question six. The topic is deer camp. Lee and Tiffany Lukoski have hosted this whitetail hunting show since 2008. Levi, Nick, Brody all look confident. Steve also has an answer. Randall is struggling. Lee and Tiffany Lukoski have hosted this whitetail hunting show since 2008. And as you might remember from a previous episode of Trivia, I believe it was Tiffany who coined the term BBD, which means big buck down. Does everybody have an answer? Nick, do you have this one right?
I believe so.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Randall, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying the crush, Nick saying the crush, Corinne without an answer, Maggie saying deer camp, Randall saying the chase, Brody saying the crush, Steve saying the crush. They got it. The correct answer is the crush. Before the crush, Lee and Tiffany hosted the show Getting Close. And before that, Tiffany was a flight attendant and Lee was a chemical engineer in Minneapolis. They quit their day jobs in the early 2000s to buy a farm in Iowa and focus on land management and hunting. Question seven. The topic is conservation. What hallowed county in Wisconsin leads the world in Boone and Crockett whitetail entries? Steve thinks he has it right.
I didn't even need you to finish.
What?
I didn't even need you to finish the question.
Uh-huh. What hallowed county in Wisconsin leads the world in Boone and Crockett whitetail entries? You probably would have got it without even the word Wisconsin in there.
I do know it.
But how much?
I just have. I don't have the answer yet.
It's called Big Buck County.
Uh-huh. Has anyone ever hunted in this county?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. And did it live up to the hype?
No.
Oh, really?
No, it's very overhunted because of that.
Is it?
Yeah. Same thing with Pike County, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Type thing.
Does everybody have an answer?
Probably got it wrong.
Yeah, you're good.
What hallowed county in Wisconsin leads the world in Boone and Crockett whitetail entries? Randall?
I wrote down an answer. I'm not happy with it, so I'm just kind of drawing it out. We're waiting on me.
You ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
God.
We have Levi and Nick saying Buffalo, Corinne and Maggie without an answer, Randall saying Adams, which I think is a Wisconsin county anyway.
Illinois and Ohio.
Illinois, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Brody and Steve saying Buffalo. The correct answer is Buffalo.
Humiliating.
Buffalo County has 161 entries in the Boone and Crockett record book for typical and non-typical whitetail deer. That's more than entire states like North Dakota, New York, and Pennsylvania. Hmm. After Buffalo County, the top producers in America are St. Louis County in Minnesota and Maverick County in Texas.
How is Buffalo County doing if you look at it over time? Is its heyday past or is it still cranking them out?
I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Nick, maybe you would have a better idea.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's still very popular, so.
Sure.
But is it still holding up numbers-wise?
I'd be curious to see. Yeah.
Question eight. The topic is woodsmanship. The rear indentations in a whitetail buck's track are made by these. And this is question eight. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil. After this, here it is again. The rear indentations in a whitetail buck's track are made by these.
God, I'm coming back strong. Steve, but everybody else is strong.
I don't know that he can.
You can't catch him because he keeps getting them right anyway. I don't know if I spelled this
right.
It's
like something bad happened to him and he couldn't play anymore, like a health problem or something.
In the next 10 minutes.
A while ago that happened.
Oh, sure.
And me coming back the way I'm coming back.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. It could happen.
You needed.
No,
you
could
needed
have
like
happened.
A,
it's too late.
Could have happened. Sure.
A concussion or an ACL tear on question six would have helped you.
Yeah. Or maybe like a gas leak in the building. Yeah. Just exclusively on this side of the table. Here's the question again. Dude. The rear indentations in a whitetail buck's track are made by these. Randall, do you have this one right?
No, I'm not even going to play.
Oh, come on.
Are you serious, Dr. Randall?
Yeah, I am. I, for whatever reason, I just can't come up with any answers.
Randall, I think my stupid might be like filtering over to you because I can't.
And
my
Randall grew up in working. Big Buck Country in Ohio.
I did. Dr. Randall has no answer. Take a Hail Mary.
Is everybody ready?
It's better than nothing, dude.
That's a Hail Mary.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi and Nick saying dew claws. Corinne without an answer. Maggie without an answer. Randall without an answer.
No, he wrote hoofs.
I wrote hoofs. Which could be.
Brody and Steve saying dew claws. They got it. The correct answer is dew claws. Dew claws are located on the backside of a deer's leg and located slightly above the hoof. It's said that the best way to identify a big buck is by its track is by studying the dew claw marks. Some features to look for include how wide they are, how far they are from the hoof, and if they're perpendicular to the hoof. To learn more how to spot a mature buck track, go read Mark Kenyon's article on themeateater.com called How to Identify a Mature Buck Track.
I like
track
that perpendicular thing.
Snow.
That's good. I never thought to. Yeah,
usually like a good thing to look for is the size and how weird
it looks. We call
it
when they're pronged out for some reason.
That's good. But yeah, I like perpendicular. That. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Maggie Hedlow, Corinne Schneider, Randall Williams, and Steven Ranilla are no longer in the
How
running.
How could that be true? I've been like getting all right.
Oh, yeah, I must have dozed off during that part. Yeah. Brody with 5 points, and then our two guests... Levi and Nick are in first and second, respectively. Levi has 7, Nick has 6.
Wow. Okay. It's going to get kind of fun. Question 9, the topic is gear. Dr. Scott Elrod created this hunting company in 2007, which claims to sell, quote, the only active in the field scent elimination device.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Scott Elrod created this hunting company in 2007, which claims to sell, quote, the only active in the field scent elimination device. Levi thinks he has it. Levi, do you know, do you use one of these? Do you have?
I have used them a lot, yes.
Okay.
I think if I got it right, I have. Yeah.
Give me a minute, man.
Sure.
You want to know something totally weird? When I bought the house I'm living in, there was one of these in the crawl space. The only thing
that
in
is
the
weird.
House.
You're right. That's weird.
Isn't that, I mean, the only item in that house.
I'd be kind of suspicious
was
about your house.
In the crawl space.
What'd you do with it?
Put it in the free table.
Oh, and it just disappeared. Then.
I wonder if they were growing
there
something.
Might be evidence
down there.
Somewhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Hadn't been opened. Mm-hmm. Mm. It was all the stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I can't remember what the hell it's called. Doesn't matter if I can't win anyway.
That's how I feel.
These guys throwing in a towel.
It's it's like, oh, you know, I remember now what it is.
Oh, okay.
This is going to help me come back.
Is everybody ready? Randall? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying Ozonics, Nick saying Ozonics, Corinne saying bye-bye smell, Maggie and Randall without an answer, Brody and Steve saying Ozonics. They got it. The correct answer is Ozonics.
I'll point out.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I'm out.
Since the second half,
you're on perfect
game. Yeah. Okay. Perfect game.
You're doing good. Yeah. You were using it probably to clean carpet because that's where it came from.
Yeah, I think originally ozone. So? Yeah, that makes sense. I think like they use it in industrial freezers a lot too. When freezers would go bad, they'd come in and clean them out with ozone.
Yeah.
Ozonics uses ozone to penetrate a hunter's scent cone and eliminate human odor. They have what is considered one of the strongest patents in the hunting industry, which Scent Crusher bumped up against in 2018 when they created their own field ozone device. Scent Crusher sent me one to test. And then was sued by Ozonics just a few days later. Scent Crusher immediately pulled the device, but I never gave mine back and still have it to this day. So I own one of the only Scent Crusher field units in the world, and it's one of my proudest possessions.
Wow. Sweet.
Oh, it's very cool. I hope someone asks me about it when I'm out doing
that
stuff.
That might be
I'm
a like, good oh, auction.
Yeah, well, let me tell you.
That might be a good auction house of oddities item.
It's going to take a lot to get that. Phil, we're on the last question. Give us a scoreboard update.
Well, it's down to Levi and Nick. Levi has 8. Nick has 7.
Question 10. The topic is hunting.
So Nick's got, if Nick gets it right, Levi gets it wrong, it's overtime?
Correct.
Yeah.
Question 10. The topic is hunting. Of the states that begin with an I. Which one has the fewest white-tailed deer? Of the states that begin with an I, which one has the fewest white-tailed deer? Just checking again. We have Nick who's leading or Levi? Who's
Levi
leading?
Has eight. Nick has seven.
Okay, we need Levi to get this wrong. Nick to get this right to go to overtime. This
fewest.
Is question 10. Of the states that begin with an I, which one has the fewest white-tailed deer?
I'm just hoping there's not a state I'm missing somewhere. Yeah, we'll see.
Nick, do you think you have this one right?
I believe I do.
Okay.
We're about to find out.
Levi, you feel sort of confident?
50-50.
How exciting.
We are guaranteed to have a guest winner today.
Nice to not have any skin in the game on, on a last round do or die question.
Me and Brody, you're like friends and stuff right now.
So watch us. Cheering each other
out. I forgot
on that
one.
Oh, no. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying Indiana, Nick saying Idaho.
He forgot
Idaho.
About that one.
Corinne saying Indiana.
Dang it.
In all fairness, I forgot about Idaho.
Randall and Brody saying Idaho.
I had Iowa.
Steve originally saying Iowa. And
I think you
could have
gotten away with it if you hadn't confessed to it. It was very subtle.
The correct answer is Idaho.
Oh.
Nick got
it right.
I was
thinking of the ones in that little area together.
That's tricky. Yeah. It's all
that killed a white
tail
in Idaho.
Touch.
Did you? Yeah.
The four states that begin with an I are Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, and Idaho. Indiana has 680,000 whitetail. Illinois has 660,000. Iowa has 445,000. And Idaho has 232,000 whitetail and 282,000 muleys.
Dang. The only reason you're able to get away with that question is give me the first two states.
Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, Idaho.
No. Give me the numbers.
680, 660, okay. 445, and then you Idaho at 232.
Had it been different, you're not going to give that question on a 20,000 estimate.
That's why I didn't
estimate.
Ask the question that way.
It's like ridiculous.
Okay.
If the question had been different, sure. It would have been a bad question, Spencer.
It's a good point, yep. It'd be like if the question was like, what's one, the state that begins with what's state where there's only one of them? Do we have one? Got to be there. If I would have asked that question, that would have been a bad question. We're going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Oh, that was the wrong sound.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I think just cut it at if you ain't first, you're last, and then like go into other stuff that's funny. I never liked it.
Hey, Phil, off, man.
Yeah, if I would have asked a state that begins with a G, you're right, Steve. That would have been a really bad question because it could have only been Georgia. Here's the overtime question. This is numerical. The person who's closest to the correct answer will be declared the winner between Nick and Levi. What did the Dustin Huffbuck score? And for reference, we have a photo of it on the TV. You can see this photo on our YouTube channel. What did the Dustin Huffbuck score? Write your answer to an eighth of an inch, and I'll ask everyone in the room to play along. If somebody gets it right on the nose, we will add an extra $100 donation at the end of the game.
Is this a net or a gross score?
This would be the Boone and Crockett score, which would make it a net score.
Net score.
Oh, net.
What a stud buck, though, man.
Stud buck.
I should know the answer to this question.
What did the Dustin Huffbuck score go to an eighth of an inch? Levi, what's the biggest buck you've ever killed?
Come on. 185 and some change. 185 and something.
Okay. Did he look like that?
No, sir. He was not that big.
If I remember right, he was smaller.
Quite a bit smaller than that. So.
Does everybody have an answer? Now, are you guys going off of what you remember about when this happened, or are you going off the photo that you're looking at?
Photo for me.
Yeah, I've actually interviewed him, and I don't remember.
Okay. So
I know it barely missed the world record, though.
Are we ready?
Oh, I know what the world record is, so I probably don't have enough on here.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Levi saying 206 and an eighth. Nick saying 231. Corinne saying 200. Maggie saying 243. Randall saying 221 and an eighth. Brody saying 201 and three eighths. Steve saying 200 and one eighth. The correct answer is 211 and 4/8, making Levi the winner.
Oh!
He was within 5 inches of the correct answer. Now, for more on Dustin's story, you can hear him play trivia on episodes 338 and 339 of the Meat Eater Podcast.
Didn't he win?
He won trivia that day. He was our first ever guest to win.
Yep.
Went to overtime.
He was a good guest, too.
The overtime question was the heaviest turkey, and he dang near hit it right on the nose.
Congratulations, Levi.
Thank you. Well done, Levi.
Way better than I expected.
Kills big bucks, and he knows white
tails. He's a world champ for a reason, right?
That's right.
Trivia
Levi, what
champ.
Happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be? What conservation organization would you like us to send that money to?
Let me say, let me see.
The Mule Deer Foundation.
Let's do the National Deer Association.
Oh, my man.
What do we like about them, Nick?
Leadership.
What's that $500 buying us?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so we're really the only whitetail conservation organization that gets into the science, interprets the science. We teach you how to do your food plot. We teach you how to hunt deer better. We work on policy issues, so we're very well-rounded in that regard. So we certainly appreciate the contribution, and that's where Mr. Huff donated to as well. So,
oh, that's great.
Excellent, man.
Good, very proud of that. Thank you.
Whitetail guys stick together.
That's right.
Yeah, we do.
Now, don't forget, Whitetail Week is happening right now on themeateater.com and firstlight.com. Go check out all the content and discounts before it's too late. Also, as a reminder, Steve is hosting next week, so tune in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of my favorite episodes. Steve, where's your confidence at right now about how well you're going to do?
What's been messing me a little bit, and I've been tailoring it, trying to make a little room for younger players.
Oh, okay.
Because I would go heavily toward media references, and I've been chilling that out, and I've kept it down to one media reference, and not getting into, like, you know, because I was like, in what state, in the Deer Hunter, in what state do they hunt deer?
Sure.
But that was from the 70s.
Is it Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And it's a red stag anyway?
It's the Hartford buck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same buck. You remember the Hartford buck for the insurance companies? That would have been my tidbit.
No.
The buck they use in the Deer Hunter is this famous buck from the insurance commercials, the Hartford Stag.
Okay,
yeah,
good little.
There was like this Hartford Insurance Company had this. Their logo was this buck, you know, this red stag.
That's the kind of content you're going to get from Steve next
week. Yeah, great tidbits.
Well, actually, that's not what he's been cutting those out.
Sure.
Oh yeah, but listen, I've been putting a lot more thought in than he ever did.
Nick, Levi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well done. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in our capital, Helena, Montana. Each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Scott personally calls every customer who buys one of his rods. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MeatEater20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.